Welcome to the B-Field Alumni Podcast.
Coming to you from the B-Field Alumni House.
We're your hosts, Nina Raffo
and Peter Young.
In this episode, we spoke to Allison Modolo. We'll learn all about Allison's journey from burnout to entrepreneurship and how she turned her passion for health into an impressive career. Let's get to the episode.
I will never turn down a trip to New Orleans.
I love it. When's the last time you were back on campus?
I actually had like such a lucky year. Last year I came twice.
Oh, awesome. Great.
What brought you here?
I was back at the beginning of, the winter of last year in March for Women Making Waves. I was speaker on one of the panels. And then I came back in the fall. I believe it was, it was October because it was Halloween weekend and Taylor Swift concert weekend.
That's right.
I had a friend who was like, I have an extra ticket. Like, just get your booty down here. And I was like, I'm there. So
that's awesome.
I got to visit campus too when I was there and have like a whole solo day to just kind of revisit all my favorite spots, which was so fun. So
that's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. That's recently. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your surprise song at your night that you went?
Oh my goodness. We had Sabrina Carpenter the night that I went.
So, no way. Oh my God. That's amazing. I'm so jealous.
She just popped up on stage and sang Espresso a cappella with Taylor. It was insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, cool. That's I'm jealous. I'm not even a huge Swiftie, but I was watching that concert from my TikTok on live. I was watching it in the bathtub and I was like, should I have gone?
Right.
I'm not even a huge fan.
Right. So I think going to the concert confirmed I am not a Swiftie. Love her. I know so many songs, but then I also don't know so many songs. I don't know all of the tidbits and facts and details. I mean, her fan base is insane. It's also so pure and young and beautiful. I think that was the most sober concert I've ever attended. ironically, it's in New Orleans, but it was very cool to see New Orleans just in its full spirit mode to honor and celebrate her. There was beads everywhere, bracelet making at every thing. You guys know you live there, so
yeah. Good stuff. Okay, cool. Well, those are two really good reasons to come down to campus, so I love that. Are you in a reunion year? What, you graduated in 2016?
So next year will be my 10-year reunion, which is wild.
That is wild.
Mm-hmm. yeah,
that's exciting. I had my fifth year a couple years ago and that was also wild. It's just jarring to have the timestamp on it, you know?
I know, right? Our fifth year was in the middle of the pandemic, so it didn't happen, unfortunately.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I would be so down to come back for 10 years. And I mean, up until the pandemic, me and my group of friends were coming back every year, just booking an annual trip. So I feel like I was coming back so regularly until the pandemic.
Awesome. All right. Well, where do you live now?
Right now I live in Brooklyn. I'm in Williamsburg. Yeah.
That's awesome. How long have you been in Williamsburg?
Only since December. So I was, after graduation, I moved back to New York. I'm from New York. I wanted to work in fashion. So New York City was a no-brainer. And that's what I did. I was here for 3 years up until 2019. Left my full-time job, started yoga, coaching, and that year, the pandemic hit. So I moved out of the city and then I moved west. I went to California in San Diego for 3 years and then made my way back here. And now, landed in Brooklyn.
Wow.
So how did you choose to go to Tulane? How did you end up at Tulane?
So it's actually funny. I wasn't Tulane wasn't really on my radar at all. I feel like so many people say that. I got deferred from my top school and Tulane was one, I think at the time with a free application, I was just throwing my name anywhere I could. And then I got in, I think it was one of the first schools that accepted me, and I had older friends that were freshmen. So me and my mom and a few other friends that actually got accepted all booked a trip together to come visit. It happened to be Crawlfest weekend. So my first experience and exposure to Tulane, New Orleans was Crawlfest. obviously had a blast, was taken to the boot and everywhere else. And next day was like, Mom, like, I want to say yes. Like, I want to come here. I don't even want to wait to hear from everywhere else. So that's how it happened. It was very unplanned, unexpected, but oh my God, so grateful that that's how I ended up at Tulane.
That's a great first exposure. Crawfest is like a lot of the good things about Tulane all just like bundled into one.
Exactly. And I will never forget the Crawfest year that I visited. It was monsooning. So the first day that I saw campus, it was gray and pouring rain. And I was like, I just didn't have like a good first impression. And then you just see everyone like all over the quad in their rain boots, like literally rolling around in mud eating crawfish. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting, but everyone seems to be having so much fun. And then I think we were there for two or three more days and then the sun came out and I was like, oh, I get it now. I get why everyone loves it here. And yeah, full power days.
That's so cool. Awesome. So then you came the fall after that. Where did you live your freshman year?
I lived in Sharp. All girls floor in Sharp.
That's awesome. I'm jealous.
Time, Sharp had the volleyball court outside. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's still there. I think the last time I visited, I wasn't sure if that was there or not, but I know so much has changed.
Yeah, Sharp Beach.
Yep.
Yeah, still there. They knocked down Phelps and Irby. That's okay. Been like a big change that they did. They built like new dorms. What is it? Lake River or something
River
like that?
River and Lake, yeah.
River and Lake, yeah.
But they're about to be renamed the Fokelman Complex.
Oh.
Who knew? Yes. Not me.
So I lived in Sharp freshman year, and then I lived in Irby sophomore year.
All right.
I lived off campus both junior and senior year, right by, it was like two blocks from the Palms. It was on Fret and Lower Line.
Nice.
Great area.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great spot. I like that side of campus. I lived on the other side of campus when I lived off campus. I was like behind Sharp actually. So I didn't live in Sharp, but I got to live near there like 2 years later. So
did you have, okay, when I was a student, the very first night of orientation, there was a big event called the Party Behind Sharp. And I asked Nina about that. She was like, I don't know about that event. Did you have the Party Behind Sharp?
That sounds very familiar. That sounds very familiar. Yes, we definitely had that.
Was that first night of orientation or first night of like everybody being there?
First night of orientation. Well, it's been quite some time since that happened, so I kind of forget.
Yeah, but so you might not.
I think it was orientation.
Okay, well,
not like an official Tulane event. It was just like...
Of course.
Right.
A giant block party.
If you know, you know. Place to see and be seen.
My move-in was Hurricane Isaac year. So it was so interesting. I had my whole family fly down with me. I'm the oldest sibling in my family. So first one off to go far away, my parents, like siblings, everyone came and we were like watching Hurricane Isaac get closer and closer. Everyone's deciding whether they're going to like evacuate or stay. And all the flights were sold out to go back to New York. So at first my mom was like, just come back home. And I like physically couldn't. So we extended the rental car and me and my dad drove to Mississippi and like stayed at this like random like casino bed and breakfast. That was like my first like few days of freshman year. And then like classes got bumped a week. Crazy. But I had so many friends who stayed, and that was like freshman year was hurricane. Like everyone was like sleeping in the hallways, eating canned food.
Oh, that's so wild. It's upsetting whenever there's a hurricane, just like not having classes, being able to kind of like bond with everybody for a bit. It's like an extra orientation week.
Yeah. And if so, classic New Orleans.
And so did you have the homecoming carnival your freshman year?
We had, I think I remember homecoming. So we still were playing at the Superdome. So that game, we got bused to the Superdome. Mm-hmm. So I don't know I'm trying to remember what else we did for homecoming, but that was just like what I remember that to be. And then towards like when did the stadium officially open?
2014.
Okay. So yeah, I was going to say 2 years in. So yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about like TUCP concerts and stuff like that. Who were some of the people that came to campus that stood out to you as like either musicians or comedians or anything like that?
That's a really great question. I feel like I remember one concert significantly And I'm blanking on who it was. Would it have been? I'm like Hoodie Allen. It was like something, someone like that.
Hoodie Allen came when I was a sophomore. So Hoodie Allen came in 2015.
Okay. So then that was my junior year. I remember.
Was it like Hoodie Allen. Little Dicky or?
Yeah, Little Dicky. They're like the same.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes.
Different font, same person. You know.
Yep. Those are the two I feel like I remember.
That's awesome.
Those are good ones.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite class or favorite professor or one that like really sticks with you?
I just immediately think of, so I was in the business school and I just remember everyone being like, freshman year, take Beau Parent's accounting class. Get Beau Parent as your professor. So I was just like, okay, following all the guidance. So I did. I was fortunate to have Beau Parent as my professor for accounting 101. And what a riot, what a legend.
Yes, that is excellent. He is so integral to so many Tulanians' experience because he taught so many accounting classes, but like financial accounting, the intro class in that giant room in the B school. Like, and he's universally loved.
Yes. You know? I remember. And so I was like reflecting on that and I like Googled him because I remember when he passed away as well. And that just like my Tulane friends, like everyone was talking about it and we were all like reminiscing and just like, taking a moment to just like remember him. And I remember at the time, like there were still like chalkboards in those big rooms and he would have like his cigarettes next to his chalk and like, go to grab the chalk when he's like, oh, that's my cigarette. Like,
what a legend. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, so you took accounting. You were a marketing major, is that right?
I double majored in marketing and management and minored in psychology. So I was in all of the B-school classes. Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. Separate from classes, what were some of your like student organizations that you were involved in?
I was in a sorority, so I was in Pi Phi and I was pretty involved on like the exec board. I remember I was marketing our marketing chair 1 year. So I ran social media at the time, the Tumblr page, like Tumblr's not a thing anymore.
I remember that was such a thing.
But I started the Pi Phi Tulane Pi Phi Tumblr page. And then the following year I was our philanthropy chair, which I absolutely loved. So did all of those events and planning.
Is that Burgers for Books?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, good memory. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then I think I was involved in one of the business clubs. I forget which one. But I was involved in that way. And then my freshman year, I played club volleyball, which I played very competitively in high school. And I was very excited to like keep that. And it was too much to do all of the things. So I played club for a semester or two. And then, put that to rest. Started yoga towards the end of college. But yeah.
That's cool.
Do you remember who your commencement speaker was?
Yes. We had Hoda as our commencement speaker.
Incredible.
So good.
Stuff. So good.
Yeah. And like commencement itself, that was a very memorable week, day. I mean, we were all up at the crack of dawn. I don't even think we went to bed, actually. I remember we all were at the boot at sunrise, got on a bus, like where did we go? Miss Mays or something on Magazine Street, and then ended up at the Superdome. And Hoda was our speaker. And then we were all just exhausted. I don't even know if any of my friends, we all agreed to not go back to the business commencement, the B school graduation. Mm-hmm. And that was like terrible.
So funny. It's such a special Tulane tradition to like be awake for the morning before. Cause I feel like most of my other friends at other schools do like the night out before, wake up and go. Yeah. But the fact that it's like everybody that I know was like at the boot for sunrise in their graduation, like so special, you know? And I went to Miss May's too. So I feel like that's
okay,
still
then that
probably
was exactly where we went. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Great.
Did you study abroad?
I didn't. So I in high school studied Italian. I'm Italian on both sides. So when I got to Tulane, they had no study abroad program at the time in Italy, and I was so bummed. So part of me like didn't want to just learn or start a new language just to go abroad. So I didn't choose to go abroad. In hindsight, I'm like, why wouldn't I just like learn Spanish or something else and go? But I was here that semester that everyone went abroad, and I actually we had like a small you like you find your people, and then it's like really fun. Like we had a blast.
Yeah, I did that too. I went abroad for like a summer, and
Okay.
so I was home for a like I was on campus, and I also had like the smaller group of people, and you get tight with them. It's special.
Yeah, it's so nice.
What was like one of the bigger things that happened while you were on campus, like in the world, and what did that like look like on campus?
I feel like the most memorable thing, well, the hurricane that first, like that was like world, but like impacted like so close to home where we were. Ooh, I'm trying to think. I was thinking about social media when I read this question of because then I had to Google like when did TikTok start? Like when did Instagram start? Social media was just like kind of the opposite. It wasn't as loud. And so I thought that that was something so unique about my Tulane experience was at the time we were posting like all of our photos into Facebook albums on Facebook. Like if you go to my Facebook, the last photo albums I have are like freshman year, sophomore year. Like they're all named funny things, but like that was like our version of social media at the time. And that was like where my mind went when I read this of just like how not like just out there everything was just yet. It was like pre, like Instagram was around. I don't think TikTok started until, yeah, after I graduated. So, yeah, that was where my head went, was just like, wow, like what a different time to, I don't even know what it would be like to go through college and like have these platforms be such a bigger part of like the world.
That is a fascinating answer.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, because I agree. I feel like going to college now would be like going to college on Mars or something. It's like, what is this experience like? Because Facebook started in the world my freshman year of college, and then it
That's
came to
crazy.
Tulane the
Yeah.
spring of my freshman year. But I feel like my experience is more similar to yours, and that like we were using Facebook, but basically nothing else. And
Yeah.
I do have those same albums of like fresh, like
It was
you, that's
so
where
like
you post your
innocent
photos.
and like, okay, like photo dump, like it's in an album.
Yes. That is such an interesting, that's wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even just
Wow.
like, I remember even like, I feel like I subscribed to the Skim. Remember when the Skim came out? That was like towards the end of my Tulane experience. And I was like, that was like the first, like, just I feel like wave of another alternative like media resource.
I used to get the skim.
And I used to get
Yeah.
it every morning and read it every morning, like before classes or on my way to classes.
Wow. This is actually kind of wild to think about. Like, 'cause now, especially because like I went to undergrad and now I work there, so I like will be on campus, and sometimes my like experience will almost meld in my head, you know what I mean? Like I have TikTok now and I'll see like Tulane posting on TikTok, but like that didn't exist when I was there. Like we had Instagram, but it was not as deep.
You know what it was? We didn't have reels. We didn't have video on Instagram. And that's what I was been reflecting too, just in my own business and life in general, like mental health. Like, when did Instagram really shift? And I feel like it was when reels and videos became way more of a feature because in the beginning it was really just your photos and there was no explore feed. You just followed your people and that's who you saw on your Instagram. So you weren't inundated with just everyone across the country or the world.
Yeah, and now you'll see students on campus like actual content creators or influencers. Like you can see them setting
Right.
up shots and videos. Whereas like
Yeah.
before you were saying it's like you set up a picture and that would kind of be it, but now it's like a whole production or a whole
Exactly.
Yeah. And I actually remember, like, whenever we'd go to like a semi-formal or something, we'd all be in our dresses. We'd have like a photo shoot, and we were always the whole time being like, "Oh my God, we're so annoying, but like we have to get pictures. Like we never look this good. Like we have to get
You always
pictures."
like created time for like a little photo shoot or a little
Exactly.
photo moment.
With like the different backdrops that you had at your house, and you always knew like whose house you were at depending on. But
So true.
now it's crazy because it's like just changed so much that it's like content creation is happening like on the quad. Like Newcomb Quad just has people TikToking, and back then it was just not like that.
Yeah, that is so crazy. I remember even graduating, I was off of social media 3 years before, for 3 full years. I remember it was like 1 year I was just going through like a cleanse and doing an experiment. And I was like, wow, I feel amazing. I don't need to go back to this. And at the time, it was Instagram and Snapchat. That Snapchat was like, big thing. So I paused both of those and felt so much better. So didn't go back to it. And then I was starting all my yoga classes and I was like, okay, I'm gonna come back on, but intentionally with the focus of posting more just like exclusively yoga content, my schedule and things like that. And to this day, that's, what my Instagram is. I haven't posted on my personal, I think, since like Tulane times. So that's also been really crazy is what it's even used for.
Well, speaking of Facebook and memories, not Facebook related, but do you have a favorite Tulane memory?
Ooh, I think there's like specific memories of like your just first everything. So I think in totality, freshman year is like such a favorite memory of just like it's your first Mardi Gras, it's your first Jazz Fest, it's your like it's just the first time for so many different things. So I feel like all of those significant things in freshman year stick out of the first time of doing everything. But I definitely think there's like a few spring breaks that stick out. Like 1 year we drove all the way to Pensacola, another like all the way to Miami. I did senior year, I did like the big spring break and we went to I think we went oh we went to Cancun. So we went to Mexico. And all of those I think really stick out. But on campus, definitely Mardi Gras, and definitely when Yeoman Stadium opened, I think that that was like a really big memory that sticks out for me. Like the first tailgates on the quad, and like everyone then just walking to the stadium is like so cool to like think about how we were there when like the first game, was on that stadium.
Yeah, that's very cool. And so few people got to experience both the Superdome and the stadium.
Yeah, true. And I would say
Very
that we
special.
talked about it, but graduation, like I think that whole week and commencement is such a standout memory.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, okay, so graduation, and then I know you kind of walked us a little bit through like moving to California and everything. Can you tell us a little bit more about like what you do now and like just explicitly about like the yoga stuff and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I do a lot of things now. I feel like at this point I've combined a lot of things. But so I teach yoga and coaching, and my coaching business is really helping people with stress, managing stress from a holistic lens. A lot of people who are recovering from burnout or experiencing a lot of burnout, exhaustion, overwhelm, really helping them feel supported in simple self-care routines and really helping them navigate high stress situations, seasons of life, big transitions. Since I've experienced so many myself at this point, I like to help people through those and really just feel less alone. So it really is a lot of grounded. It's grounded in a lot of restorative practices. So I teach mainly restorative yoga, so yin-based yoga, if you're familiar with the yoga practices. And I do sound bowl, I do Reiki. So I've infused a lot of different modalities in that. So weekly, I'm teaching classes in person. I have a virtual online community as well. So I host workshops monthly. We do like intention setting workshops, stress relief workshops, all different kinds of workshops. I run a few group programs as well. which are really fun. And those are centered around self-care and stress relief as well. And I do retreats now, which is really, really such an awesome and special experience. Some of them are local in New York. Some of them are back in California. And then others are international. So we've done Costa Rica. We've done Tuscany. This year we're going to Portugal, which is so beautiful. So taking all of the self-care, slow living, and like putting it into a week format to really support people who want to add more restorative practices and self-care into their day-to-day lives. Even if you're really busy, I believe that there's a way to incorporate these things to add balance and create balance. So that's what the yoga coaching side of things looks like. And like I mentioned earlier, I studied marketing in college. And so when I went into fashion, I was actually in sales and marketing. So I really loved that. And then when I started my yoga and coaching stuff, I really loved or learned how much I loved like content creation and just like my own, used a lot of my marketing skill set more on the creative side. So I do a lot of creative consulting for other coaches and other wellness brands on the side, as well as even mentorship for other coaches or entrepreneurs who are looking to get started or build something, create a program. And then I went back into some styling and fashion at the end of last year. So sometimes I'll like just work back in a store, be a sales associate on the floor. I love being in the store and working with customers and helping people style things or find certain things. And so that's been something that has kind of come back in after I put my full focus into the yoga and coaching over the last 3-4 years. And then when I made it back to New York, I was like, I miss certain things, and fashion and styling was one of them. So I love keeping that alive wherever I can. And I also do more business development and outreach in the mental health space as well. So I support an eating disorder treatment center for adolescents and do a lot of their marketing, brand outreach, and networking. And I also teach yoga classes there as well. So kind of have my foot in a lot of different places, but I absolutely, I'm a Gemini. I love having lots going on. It makes me feel really balanced. So yeah, as long as I'm practicing my own self-care and doing all the things that I'm teaching people, it feels possible. But yeah, that's what life looks like right now. It's very, very well-rounded.
Wow. Yes, thank you for sharing all that. That's so much, and such cool things that you're doing that are really impactful. And I'm sure that even doing some of that, while you all, of course, have to practice self-care because you're balancing so many things, like I'm sure so much of it is just so fulfilling that you're almost practicing self-care by just being in this space and doing these things.
It is. It's very life-giving to be in a lot of those spaces and do a lot of those things. And I've learned how to, at this point, now that it's been, so I've been teaching yoga for 8 or 9 years now, which is really crazy. I didn't realize how close that was to like my graduation date. I guess I did my training 2 years out of graduation. I will teach more seasonally. So it doesn't always look like, you know, a couple classes a week. Like sometimes it's just, you know, a class a month or pop-ups. So I've learned like to how to manage my own energy and capacity with doing that as well. There was a time where I was teaching like 9 classes a week and I was like, that was a very short moment and burnout came very quickly. I was like, can't do that.
Yeah. It sounds like you're a multi-hyphenate entrepreneur. That's so much.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I am. How do you select the sites for your retreats? Because Tuscany and Costa Rica and Portugal sound incredible.
Yes. Great question. So in the beginning, I kind of just polled everybody on Instagram. I asked where everyone wanted to go. Everyone gave me their feedback. And actually, all three of the international retreats were like partnerships and collaborations with other teachers that found the spaces. So the Costa Rica one was the first one. And I had a friend who wanted to co-host that one together. She had heard of the venue and had a relationship or someone she knew connect us with the venue. And so that's how we landed at the spot in Costa Rica. And then with Tuscany and Portugal, it's actually through a retreat company which is owned by or founded by one of my really good friends from San Diego. So at the time I was teaching classes at a spa, and she found me on their website and was like, I'm looking for more like restorative instructors for my retreats. Like it was a cold DM. And she was like, I'd love to meet in person and see if you, you know, would be a good fit and want to be on these retreats. So we met up in person and really hit it off and connected, and it all was very aligned. So since then I've been joining her once a year. The first year was Tuscany and this year is Portugal. So I don't plan them, which is the beauty of it. I really show up just to teach, but she's awesome. She plans all of them and she has a whole business where they go to like 12 different destinations a year. It's pretty incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
When is the Portugal one?
It's in August. It's called the Art of Slow Living Retreat. It is on a farm outside of Lisbon in Milfontes, Portugal. Mm-hmm. So closer to the beach side. And yeah, it looks really lovely. I've never been to Portugal, so I'm also very excited.
So cool. Retreats are always so interesting. I'll see like artist retreats and stuff. And so it's just interesting to kind of hear the, how it's like a cold DM makes it happen. You know what I mean? Like gets you on it, gets you to be there. It's all just connecting with people, and then it, like things happen. So that's really cool.
And I would just like say to people, you really never know. I definitely don't invest in like SEO and all the things that mm-hmm. you really can like, you know, help get yourself out there. But somehow some people just will find you through searches and things. And I always think that that is so cool. And like one of the huge positives and powerful things of social media, right?
Totally. Do you feel like Tulane helped you get to like where you are now?
Yeah. In so many ways. I think especially like I can see so much of my like more feminine yoga teacher blended with this like masculine marketing skill set. And people are always like, so, oh, okay, makes sense now to learn that I went to business school. And like, that was where I came from. And I didn't start out in the wellness industry. So in so many ways, I feel like even in the first 3 years of working full-time in corporate and in fashion, I think like I had such a strong skill set for communication, writing emails, being organized, using Excel, knowing how to like run sales reports, manipulate those reports. Like, it's so funny. I remember spreadsheet modeling, like whatever class that was in the B school, and how I dreaded that class. I didn't understand where or when that would ever be applicable in my life. And to this day, like, I think it's really cool that now having my own business, like I will use, like I collect my own data and I can like kind of make my own like overviews of like, okay, I don't know, just kind of anything. Like I know how to use numbers in a very different way than someone who would never have, you know, gone to those classes and learned those things. So I think from a business lens, I credit Tulane to so much of that. And not having needed to really go back to school and get like an MBA or anything like that to really learn. Because once I did enter the wellness space, there's so many other teachers, coaches, entrepreneurs who really don't have a background in that at all. Or I even think I work very closely with a lot of clinicians and therapists. Like they're not learning that, you know, in their schooling. So I think it's really unique that and that I got to have that experience. And yeah, I use it all the time every day in ways that too, when I talk about certain things with other friends who are teachers and coaches, and they're like, wait, what did you say? Like, how did you know how to do that? Like, what do you mean? And I'm like, wow, like I didn't realize this is like, you know, in my repertoire and not in everyone else's. Yeah,
it sounds like it's super well-rounded, you know, kind of have best of both worlds.
Totally. I think having sales experience really did in the long run be such a big benefit.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, did you leave Tulane knowing that you wanted to start your own business, or did that, like, did your ambition just take over and you were like, I can do this. I'm going to do this.
It was so not on my radar. So I knew I had two internships while I was at school back in New York, both summers in fashion. So I was working with brands. Like the first summer, I remember working at Levi's. I was with their designers. And then the second summer, I was at Michael Kors. I was working with their product licensing teams. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is exactly what I want to do. And so when I graduated, that was what I was applying for and looking for, was roles that were either more connected to design, supporting design, or supporting product. And then I ended up in sales, which is not where I necessarily thought I would end up, but sales is really cool because you get to be like the middleman of all different areas. So you get to work with the designers and you get to work with the product teams, but then you get to share the product with retailers and wholesalers. So, I'm such a people person too. So I think I'm not surprised that that's where I ended up. And then, no, I really thought that I was going to have a career in that and like really do that long term. And then within a few years of working in the industry, I think I just really saw how burnt out a lot of upper management was. It really turned me off to wanting to like climb a ladder and get promotions and get to that point. And so I think that was like the first moment where I was very, very confused. And it was kind of like a career crisis for me, where what else would I do if that's not something that I wanted to work towards? And practicing yoga was just something I was doing to like take care of myself outside of my full-time job. So it really wasn't on my radar until I did a teacher training, which in the beginning wasn't even to teach. It was just to like get more exposure and experience to the yoga practice. I was like so interested about the mind body connection and like why it was helping me so much. So by the time I was done with that training, I was like, okay, I think I would maybe be interested in teaching, and then taught a few classes. And then I think that was when I realized that, oh, maybe I want to like take a total shift and career change here and move towards this. And then I started meeting a lot of people who were teaching and coaching and had left the fashion industry to do that. So it was like, oh, they had been through what I've been through and now they're doing this. So I started to meet people that like really showed me it was possible. And that's kind of what really made me then make the decision, a really hard decision to leave.
Yeah, yeah. That seems very brave.
Yeah. Yeah. Extremely. I mean, I didn't plan it either. It was months before the pandemic started. Like, had I had known that, I would definitely delayed that choice.
Yeah.
I really did at the time. I was so burnt out. Like, it was not a safe or healthy option for me to like slowly start a business and do both. I was just so far past that point. So I never really recommend that to people. Like if you have something on the side you're really passionate about that you want to grow and create, I've worked with so many people who just want to quit, and I totally get that because that's where I was. But there's so many other factors, and it was really hard for me to just like really make that decision and put all of that risk and pressure on me to something that I didn't have proof of concept of, you know, at the time.
Wow. Yeah, that's what it sounded. Very brave.
Yeah, exactly.
And look how far you've come. I mean, it's so cool. You have so many things going on. It's just so impressive. So
yeah, thank you. It has been such a journey. You learn so much along the way too. At the same time, I say to people, like, you got to just start doing the things. You just got to start doing the things. Do it scared, you know?
Do it scared. I like that. That's a good piece of advice.
Yeah. Have support and do it scared.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it all by yourself either. Like, get your support, you know, round up your people, let everyone know that this is what you want to do. I felt very, very supported at the time when I wanted to make this change. And I'm really grateful for that, because I think my experience would have been so different if I had parents, friends, colleagues even that were just like, are you sure? Like, no one was really questioning me. Everyone was like, we are so supportive of that. You should try it. You should do it. And so I know that that's not like everyone's experience either. So I think that was also what really made me feel really supported to do something really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's good advice for some people. Did you ever get any really like special advice, either like during your undergrad or after, or anything that kind of like stuck out that kind of sits with you and kind of guides you?
Yeah, I mean, through my own, just like I think I took the hustle of fashion and I put it right into entrepreneurship. And it was ironic because I was teaching yoga, but I really, the best advice that I feel like I even try to give is to guide people to do it slowly, also. Like, do it scared, but do it slowly. There is no rush. Rushing is just going to lead you right back into where you were. And then it doesn't become about the job or the career or what it is that you do. It becomes about the behavior and the way that you're doing it. So I feel like the best advice and the mentors and the people that I'm following now are really helping me guide me back to myself and the relationship that I have with the things that I do and like the pace and the speed at which I do them. I don't think there's even enough people talking about that. I think a lot of entrepreneurship is very glorified and glamorized. I think it's also, you know, like we're just saying, it's scary, it's hard, and it requires you to learn so much and also do a lot of work that a 9 to 5 or a more traditional job might not require you to do, right? Like you are the marketing person, you are the salesperson, you are your accountant, and you know, like you wear so many different hats. So I wish earlier I was guided to move more slowly, but that's how I ended up where I've ended up in teaching more of a restorative practice. In yoga, but also just in life, is actually the more slower you start to go, the faster things actually start to happen. So I think too, when I share my story and all the things that are going on, it's like a lot of slowing down after my burnout, like actually got me here and got me to so many different opportunities that I think wouldn't have necessarily happened if I continued to move at like the pace and speed of the world. So I take a lot of breaths
That's
and I take
incredible
a lot of
advice.
time off. Yeah. I definitely don't do it the way that a lot of other people do it, which is why I have so many, like I diversify my income because I don't want to rely on one thing. If one thing's going to just burn me out completely, but I love it, like I don't want to have a relationship with work or the things that I am passionate about. So I think too, it's a lot of it can be, we have such a intention of wanting to like do things more purposefully. But again, if we're not doing that from a place of, you know, being grounded and being slow and being intentional, then you're just going to burn yourself out doing what you love.
Yeah.
That was a lot
Wow.
of great advice. I
It so
especially
was.
like
Yeah.
the slower you go, the faster things can take off. That's profound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow and steady wins the race. It's like,
It's so
it's
true.
true. You're proof. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, I've
Yeah.
tested that out a few times now. Like I've gone really fast and I've crashed and burned.
Yeah, and I think nowadays there's such a like hustle culture and just oh I'm 28, what am I doing? I'm so behind. There's always that I'm so behind. I'm not where I thought I was going to be. And so kind of hearing that, I feel like is a very grounding thing. My birthday is tomorrow, so I'm definitely feeling a little
You're the
old.
Taurus. You
And
get the slow, steady. Yeah.
and so I have those moments of being like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know, just what is life and are other people going faster? Am I doing things right? But
Yeah.
hearing the slow and kind of seeing it and feeling it, I don't know, it's grounding and I
Yeah,
think it's
I think
helpful.
it's so counterintuitive, but it speaks to people, right? I'm like, yo, your body,
Totally.
like that's the human way to live. Like, I think
Yeah.
we are just, yeah, we've been so, as a culture, so programmed and conditioned to be like more of a machine than a human being. And that is why there are so many, you know, health problems that are everywhere and widespread. And yeah, I think it is really counterintuitive, but I also encourage people just to try it. Like try and see what happens. It's also really scary. I think that's also really goes to show how much we are wired to go fast. Is because we have such a hard time actually also slowing down. Like we fear so much that we won't get as much done. And it's just like, when did productivity and doing more become the definition of success, you know?
Yeah. Snaps.
We could do a whole other podcast about it, but yeah.
Favorite Tulane tradition that you participated in, that you've seen, that you've come back and done?
Like I mentioned earlier, it was coming back with my friends every year, so it was more of a personal tradition, but coming back. But I would say my tradition of when I do is I need to take a day, even if I'm traveling with others, I have to take a day to walk campus by myself and just be really present. And like walk through the dining hall or walk around and just kind of like immerse myself back in like the last time I visited, this will become like a forever ritual, is every time I visit is I take the walk home from class. So I would go to the B school and I would walk to my house that was on Lower Line and Ferret. And that brought up so much for me. And I was so happy I did that, and that I did that by myself, because it was just like, I don't know, it put me back into like that college version of myself. And I would say that that becomes like a very personalized tradition that I have when I come back and visit.
That's lovely. That's a great one.
That's so nostalgic and sweet. Yeah. I love that. Especially just walking the same footsteps you did like 10 years ago, you know, it's just, it's lovely.
And having no homework to go with it has to feel great.
Totally. No backpack.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Should we hop into the lightning round?
Yes.
Okay. Should I time it? Let me pull up my phone.
Yeah. We time it for literally no reason. Don't
worry
about
like
it.
It's just like a bit.
It's just for fun.
Exactly. It is just for fun.
We don't even really
like. The slowed down version of me is like, wait, I don't know about this.
Well, it's funny because we'll edit it too sometimes, because sometimes like, you know, it's a lightning it's round, like, but it can be hard to think of. Yeah. And so I'll be like, so I've said in the past, like, it was this many, but like, we're going to cut it down, so it's not actually going to be that long or whatever. So it's funny.
Yes, various people have various definitions of lightning. We have found some people, people do take this slower version of lightning, which is, it's great for them.
Okay. Yeah. All right, ready?
Let's do it.
Yes.
3, 2, 1, go.
Who was the Tulane mascot when you were a student?
I have no idea.
Who were the campus celebrities while you were at Tulane?
Also have no idea.
This is great. You're actually moving super fast through them.
No, it's beautiful.
I'm just being honest.
That's perfect. What song makes you think most of your college experience?
Something Fetty Wap.
Totally. Favorite New Orleans restaurant?
Oh, GW Fins.
How much did a slice of boot pizza cost?
Great question. I was gluten-free in college, so I didn't eat a lot of boot pizza, which was so sad. $2? I don't know.
My next question might be moot, because boot pizza or crepes, but you're gluten-free, and I don't think the crepes are gluten-free.
I would say boot pizza, though.
Cool.
Great answer. Your favorite spot on campus?
Ooh, my favorite spot on campus. Probably like the front quad. I don't even know what it's called.
Like the academic quad.
The academic quad. Yes. Yes. Cool. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Favorite Mardi Gras crew or parade?
Bacchus.
Green or blue?
Green.
18 or 34?
18 is my lucky number.
What's 18 plus 34?
Oh my goodness. 42? No, 52.
Nice. Morning call or Cafe du Monde?
Cafe du Monde.
City Park or Audubon Park?
Audubon Park.
And finally, Nino or Peter?
Both.
Perfect answer.
We'll take it. Perfect. Beautiful. That was probably my favorite answer so far. It was so inclusive and beautiful.
Yeah.
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 Most people pretend and they're like, I could never, Nina.
Sorry, I'm the favorite.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
We'll see. Time will tell, you know? It's slow and steady. It's a long race. You know?
Exactly. Thank you.
Those are awesome, though.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the B Field Alumni Podcast.
Find us on Instagram at VField Alumni Podcast.
Or on the web at alumnipodcast.tulane.edu.
See you next time.
Roll wave.